So Valentine's Day, I'm going to be in Chicago, and I am taking my ass to see Titanic in 3D. I'm so excited.
Wait, wait, wait. It's 3D?
It's 3D. Wait, I think it's going to be Dolby 3D because it's like the same stuff that they did for Avatar 2, which I saw last time I was in Chicago.
Oh, my God. Wait, oh, that's such a cute little date to take yourself on. Are you going to get like pizza before?
Absolutely not.
What do you mean?
Chicago pizza is not pizza.
I'm what? Sorry.
I'm sorry.
I can't believe that you feel comfortable to just say that out loud. That's a really hot take.
Maybe I shouldn't say that out loud, but I'm maybe I'll try it again, but like not anytime soon.
Hello, and welcome to a brand new episode of Poor Unfortunate Podcast. I'm Caroline Amedi.
And I'm Connor Perkins. Welcome to all of our returning listeners. It's great having you here with us. And welcome to all of our new listeners. Thank you for hitting play. Please also remember to hit follow or subscribe wherever you're listening to the podcast. That way, all of our episodes download right to your device. You don't miss out on anything. And then once you get to the end of the episode, make sure that you leave a 5-star rating and a written review wherever you're listening to the podcast. So that could be Apple, Spotify, Facebook, Good Pods, wherever. And that does so much for us in terms of helping us share the podcast with other people, get them interested. Your review and your rating could be the difference between someone passing us by or hitting play. So thanks for doing that. All right, Caroline, what's new?
Well, since this is coming out on a Monday, the day before this release was the Super Bowl. So for us, when we're recording this, it has not happened yet, but we are going to be getting some very exciting trailers during the Super Bowl. So we are going to be getting new trailers for Little Mermaid, the live action, OMG, Elemental.
Which I think is the one that we've seen.
Which is the one that me and Connor saw the leaked version of.
the shitty one that we've seen.
And there are some visuals in that that I need to see, like, in actual HD.
The hair flip.
I can't wait. Yeah, oh God. And the tentacles, oh my God. Y'all, yeah. Whew, can't wait. Elemental trailer is going to be happening during the Super Bowl, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, and Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania. We're going to get all of those during the Super Bowl, so I hope you all enjoyed those.
So on the day that we're recording this, it's a Monday. Yesterday was the Grammy Awards, in which Disney had some nominations.
Yeah.
So Encanto won 3 Grammys last night. It won Best Compilation Album for Visual Medium. It won Best Score Soundtrack for a Visual Medium. So Jermaine Franco, a female composer,
finally
won. We love this.
Oh, my God.
And it also won Best Song for a Visual Medium for We Don't Talk About Bruno. So congrats, Encanto. Very
Jermaine
well deserved.
Jermaine is the first woman of color to win in this category. It's such like,
hell yeah.
It's amazing. Yeah. Yeah. All right. In Parks news, we finally have an opening date for the Roundup Rodeo Barbecue in Hollywood Studios. So that is opening on March 23rd. And there's like they've released everything that's going to be served at that restaurant. So it's just like, you know, barbecue food served family style. You get to pick and choose a couple of salads and stuff like that. There's like a forky cupcake. I would like to partake. It looks very delicious. So that's happening very soon. This isn't really news, but there was a released photo from Shanghai Disney of what the Zootopia, speaking of our last episode, of what the Zootopia skyline looks like there. Mm-hmm. Very cool.
Also, have you seen the footage of the Clawhauser animatronic?
I did see that.
It looks so good.
Yeah. So it's revived the conversation of like, is Zootopia going to come to Animal Kingdom and replace Dino Land. It's so
given the fact that everything new that we're getting here in the States is some sort of repurposed thing from the Asian parks, I would not be surprised.
Yeah.
The US isn't building anything new here. Yeah. Remy's Ratatouille Adventure.
Tron. One of the things that I wish we would get from France, I don't know where it would go exactly,
Crush's
but when
coaster.
I was in Disneyland, yes, Crush's, and you know me, I don't like roller coasters. I had the time of my life. I think I was crying from joy on that ride.
Everyone says that that ride is amazing.
It's incredible. You really feel like you don't feel yourself in the vehicle. You feel like you are swimming. I can't explain it. It's amazing.
Wow.
I really want that. But also related to Animal Kingdom, I don't think you know this, and I'm kind of embarrassed to admit it, but in all transparency, like, you've talked a lot about bringing Kumandra to Animal Kingdom, and I can finally talk more intelligently about that with you because I finally watched all of Raya and the Last Dragon for the first time.
Oh, what'd you think?
I had never finished it. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was
right?
Great. Yeah.
Yeah. Very different.
Yes. Yes. I didn't love it. Improved for me over time. Maybe I needed to get used to it. The animation was a little wooden for me. I don't know how to explain it. It just, the characters felt like a little cold to me. I don't know. It struck me as something felt off, but I loved the story. It was so great. And I don't know why it took me so long to finally finish it, but I did.
I love that too. And I want Kumandra in Animal Kingdom.
Yeah, it would be amazing.
It would be really good. Can you imagine Kali River Rapids redone as
come
Boone's
on.
Boat? Like, come on.
Oh my God. And play me that song from the credits. Oh, please.
That song is so good.
Yeah. So I'm finally like, I was very ashamed of that. I don't know what my problem is, but I finally watched it.
Oh, I'm glad. I'm glad that you watched it.
Yeah. I wouldn't be mad about a sequel. It seems very ripe for a sequel.
I could go more into this world for sure. There's a lot to mine from it, I think.
Yeah, I agree. And then just in terms of the parks, Tron Light Cycle Run is starting cast member previews, I guess, next week. They're not happening already, are they?
No, they're happening already.
Woo, time flies. Yeah.
Also, the new fireworks show at Disneyland started and is incredible. Baymax flies across the freaking sky, and the blue fairy flies above the castle. Looks awesome. Also, the new fountains in the moat outside of Sleeping Beauty Castle have been installed, and they look beautiful. Disneyland continues to just, like, get good stuff. And also, World of Color 1 looks so
good. Oh, that looks so good.
The Star Wars and Marvel sequences look incredible. So, yeah, Disneyland killing the game. Come on, Disney World.
Disneyland.
Get your shit together.
Truly.
All right. I think that's... Yeah, that's the news that we'll
cover
this round.
Sometimes we sit here and we do like 20 minutes of news, and so we got to balance it out. We got to.
Yeah, so we're just going to get right into it. So this is our showdown episode, and we're breaking the rules a little bit here. So usually with showdowns, we take two similar things and we pit them against each other to tell you which one comes out on top. But this time, we've chosen a category, and we're pitting all of the things against each other to let you know which one comes out on top. So if you remember the season finale of season one, we did the Beluga-Savruga brackets. So this is going to be similar to that. We've done sort of like a tournament-style, bracket-style showdown for Valentine's Day of all of the Disney dates.
Yeah.
So, you know, love is in the air, and we're making it happen. And we have 32 different Disney or Disney-owned dates that we're all going to match up against each other, and we're going to see which Disney date is the Disney date to end all Disney dates. And we have it divided into four different categories. So the first one, the Great Outdoors, these are all dates that happen outside or have some sort of outdoor element to it.
Mm-hmm.
What's for dinner? These are all dates that have some sort of food element involved.
Mm.
On the Town, these are all dates where you're going out and you're seeing the city or the town that you're part of. And then Love at First Sight. So these are all like meet cutes, Love at First Sight things. As we go through them, we'll give you a little synopsis of the date that we're talking about. And then we're going to analyze it from the perspective of the quality of the activity and the quality of the connection on the date to see who moves forward.
And some have songs as well, and we will take that into consideration
too. Yeah, that kind of falls in with the quality of the activity.
Oh, yes. Okay. So let's begin, shall we?
We shall.
Oh, get ready for the romance. We are going to start with the category of the great outdoors. And the two dates that are going to be facing off against each other in this first round to start are the following. Aladdin and Jasmine's magic carpet ride with, of course, A Whole New World. And another flight. I love the way you grouped these, Connor. Great job.
Thank you.
We have Bernard and Bianca's flight to Devil's Bayou with the song Tomorrow is Another Day, underscoring that whole moment.
So, I mean, technically, you could say that maybe this isn't a date, maybe it is, but she does lean into him and he does do the arm move. So
and he's very like surprised and like doesn't know what to do.
Yeah, she's very lovey on him. She says goodnight, dear, and she curls into him. So it's a date. Let's be real.
Sure. Yes.
All right. Let's look at the quality of the connection. Let's look at the quality of the activity. I mean, for me, I just think it's like no contest. I'm sorry, but Aladdin and Jasmine have it.
I know.
Because their flight is going to fun things. Like, we're going to go to the pyramids and we're going to go to Greece and China, where they're going to rescue a child that has been abducted.
Yeah.
And the romance is more implied, whereas the romance in I think A Whole New World is a little bit more overt and it feels
and there's
more
like
dainty.
And there's a journey. Like Jasmine starts off very hesitant, not sure, and she's convinced over the course of the song, which there's no beating that. That's very
and there's
lovely.
All those good moments that happen in there too, from the Do You Trust Me, where she starts making the connection to when he plucks the apple and does the same apple arm move that and she recognizes it.
Yes.
There's so many smart things that happen in that scene for them. But I mean, the flight to Devil's Bayou is beautiful. The song is beautiful. It's picturesque. Mm-hmm. You get to see Bernard and
the
Bianca.
The lyrics
sort
of that are very lovely. I love the
lyrics. They really are. Yeah. You get to see them become comfortable with one another. Yeah. You sort of see the dichotomy between them of like Bernard being the super analytical one as he's like trying to research Devil's Bayou. And she's like, I'm just going to cuddle up into you.
Yeah.
Turning on the charisma. So it is still a very charming thing. But for me, Aladdin and Jasmine take this one.
Absolutely. Me too. Especially, if we want to count the kiss and the whole, the kiss underscore. Oof.
The kiss underscore.
That was on, that's part of my Disney romance playlist from whenever that was. Was that last season or the first season when we did our music playlist?
Yeah. The kiss is one of the best.
It's one of the best. Yeah.
One of the best underscoring moments in Disney. So good.
Absolutely.
So our next two dates in this category are Jane Porter and Tarzan. This is their montage to Strangers Like Me.
Yeah.
And in this, if you're unfamiliar with it, so this is when Tarzan's watching the slideshow. It sort of happens over a couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
But it ultimately ends with Tarzan seeing Jane trying to sketch out a bird that flies away. And then he takes Jane up into the tree where she can see the whole flock of this bird that she's trying to sketch. And they come down and they're like on both of them. And then they start swinging through the vines together.
And he teaches her how.
It ends in a very, very like sensual moment of the two of them, like bodies pressed against each other.
I was thinking when I was watching this, I was like, this is sensual. Like, especially when you see him at one point, like in the middle, like laying back in the grass and like looking at the sky. I was like, oh my God.
Yes. And Jane is like very into Tarzan. She is like clocking him.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of hard not to. I mean, he's wearing basically
Absolutely.
So there's that date. And that is going up against Belle and the Beast, Something There. So this starts with the two of them having like a porridge breakfast together, him making the attempt to eat with a utensil, her meeting him halfway, and the two of them drink out of the bowls. This goes outside to them in the snow with Philippe and feeding the birds into a snowball fight. And it ends with them cozy inside next to the fire, reading a book together. I mean, okay.
This is a really difficult one. This is a difficult one.
The quality of the connection, I think, are about. I mean, they're pretty.
This is like a game changer for both couples. I feel like this moment is a game changer for both of their relationships.
It is. I feel like the quality of connection on Beauty and the Beast might edge out a little bit just because of the history that they have together, having so much turmoil, that for them to make this next step, to make this jump, seems a bigger deal than Tarzan and Jane, who seem to like have a connection right off the bat.
Yes. And whereas we have like both of the male characters are kind of learning something that they didn't know how to do before. But I feel like Jane is a little bit more removed, whereas Belle is literally teaching the Beast how to do these things, where Jane is kind of like watching from the outside and like they're smiling at each other. They're making eyes at each other. But she's not as involved as Belle is, I feel like.
The activity, I would say. Jane, I mean, swinging in the trees with Tarzan is like kind of amazing.
That moment with the birds is just one of my, I think it's one of my favorite moments ever. It's very beautiful.
It's really beautiful. But Belle also like smacks the Beast in the face with a big ass snowball. And then his big snowball drops on it. Like there's comedy to it. I feel like there's a lot of different activities in that too. Without it being like a full multi-day montage, like in the span of a day, they've done a lot of different things together. And I don't know, a snow day, a fun day in the snow.
And then reading. I know.
I love that.
We're so biased. It's awful. That's why I'm like, it's very close for me, but I'm trying to convince myself of Tarzan and Jane just so we can stop being so predictable.
But no, it's Belle and the Beast. Come on. It's something there. Jesus.
But Strangers Like Me, though, it was much more sensual than I remember it being.
It was a lot more sensual than I remember it being, but
much more sensual than Something There. Something There.
I don't know.
It's still friend vibes to me. They're friends.
The moment that always gets me is when she goes behind the tree and she has the private moment to herself.
I love that moment. Yeah. Yeah.
Like to just see her just like take a moment away from everything.
Yeah.
And recalibrate. Yeah. Is such a good character moment.
Yeah.
For any character in general. And to see the change happening in Belle, I think is really,
we're getting from Tarzan too, though? When we see him laying back, looking at the stars, we know he's thinking about Jane.
Yeah, but quality of activity and quality of connection, I still think that Beauty and the Beast edges out on both of them.
I'll give it. I just will say, I feel like the friend vibes are stronger in Beauty and the Beast, whereas Tarzan and Jane, It's a little hotter. I'm not going to lie.
It's a little hotter.
But I'll give it to Belle and the Beast.
It's a little hotter, but Belle and the Beast, I think they're making big strides. And that is their end cuddle. That's not friend vibes.
All right. Next two dates in this category. We have Robin Hood and Maid Marian in their evening stroll through Sherwood Forest, of course, with the song Love playing throughout. And then we have Eve and Wally in the sequence underscored by Define Dancing. So in the Robin Hood clip, it's basic. They're having an evening stroll. They climb underneath a waterfall. He helps her down through the craggy rocks of the forest, and she lays her head on his shoulder.
There's the fireflies. They stare into each other's eyes for a big hot
moment. We see a lot of eyes. Yeah.
He gives her a flower ring.
I have to say, the flower ring, that moment really edged it forward for me because that is charming as all hell.
And also the song Love was nominated for an Academy Award.
Right. And then in the Wally and Eve moment, Wally shows Eve for the first time the boot. This is the first time, right, that he shows her the boot.
No, this is, so she's seen the boot. She's captured it and she comes, gets taken. But then, like, she realizes that the main command robot is trying to get rid of it so that they don't come back. Because they're doing the A113, Directive A113, and tries to get rid of it. And she thinks that the boot and the evidence of vegetation on Earth, that life is hospitable on Earth, has been destroyed. Mm. But little does she know that Wally actually found it and saved it. And so in this, it starts with him showing Eve that
and
he
she,
has
and
he
she
has
just
the
flips
boot.
She flips out and she just like tackles him, hugs him, and gives him a
and then
kiss.
Kisses him. And then his solar panel
away.
Heartbeat floats away. Yeah, and then Thomas Newman's score comes in.
Yeah.
And then they dance through space.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. See, you know, we're talking about
space.
It and I'm like, oh. And it also
the
just has
fire
like larger implications
and hers
of what
is very
celebrating
fluid,
in that moment
and his
as
is
well.
All,
but
and they're two robots.
And they're two robots. Yeah, I think that wins for me. I will say though, I'm very glad that you brought up the flower ring with Robin Hood Maid Marian, because I was like, oh right. That is something else. Like a fake little, like, I'm going to propose to you one day.
If you gave me the opportunity to have a date in Sherwood, just walking through Sherwood Forest or dancing through space, I'm going to want to dance through space.
All right.
And the connection, like, I do really love that Robin Hood and Marian have this very, very long-standing connection that they're, like, now finally admitting to each other, and this is after the peril of the archery contest and everything, and it's their quiet moment, and I think it's so important for their relationship. But this is also the first time that Wally gets any sort of sense that Eve reciprocates the feelings that he has for her.
Right.
And
it's that more sudden moment versus Robin Hood and Marian is a little bit more contemplative and like,
and the score of Define Dancing is, I think, one of Thomas Newman's best pieces of music that he's ever written.
Mm-hmm.
It is haunting and beautiful and yearning, and the strings and the, oh my God.
Yeah.
It's just so, it's so good.
I'll give it to that. Though I love that Robin Hood is just like making Maid Marian a promise. He really is, without any words.
We salute you, Robin. You did not do a bad job.
No.
You did not know that you would have to compete with robots flying and dancing through space.
Yeah, after the apocalypse.
I apologize.
Yeah.
And our last two dates in this category, we have Pocahontas and John Smith. And this is their first meeting that leads into Colors of the Wind. And the other date that we have is Nani and David from Lilo and Stitch. And while at the end of the film, there is evidence of the two of them going on a date in one of the photographs, we see them eating Chinese food on a beach at nighttime with a campfire and the ukulele. And it's very charming. We're going to take Hawaiian roller coaster ride, the surfing moment with Lilo and Stitch as well as their date.
This is so interesting because I feel like this is like a matter of like, and both of these things can be kind of attractive in their own ways, a bunch of red flags and a bunch of green flags. You know what I mean?
Like, Pocahontas gives like basically a lecture on anti-colonialism.
And he pretty much just sticks with what he's saying, though. He's just like, no, I mean, you know, people who, you know, aren't civilized. He just doesn't drop
the end
it.
Of, at the end of Colors of the Wind, he has seen some of the errors of his ways. And he is quite changed. So in some regard, like, it actually is the date moved their relationship forward quite a bit. On the other hand, the fact that she had to do it.
I know. And this is the thing, though. It's like, it's a little bit, it's like, this is pretty sensual. And then David, like, the love that he shows of, like, showing up for Nani and Lilo when they need it the most. And, like, also the care that he just shows for Lilo alone.
There is nothing sexier than a date that you have with your significant other's family and watching your significant other
true.
Get along with your family. That is a big thing for me. And one of my favorite moments in that, because you actually don't really see Nani and David having many private moments together. But the moment that does happen between them that I think shows that there really is a connection between them is right after the first wave that David and Lilo go on. They come up to Nani and Stitch on their surfboard. And Nani kicks David's foot under the water and it pushes him off of the surfboard.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That to me, I'm like, oh, she's playing with him.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, the activity, surfing, a day at the beach. Personally, I am not a huge fan of, oh God, I can't believe, I'm not a beach person. Sand is a no-go for me. I don't like sand. I don't like the way it feels. It's,
You're a forest guy. Yeah.
Yeah. So I do like that. And they go swimming in the river and they see the heron and they see the otter and they're her friends.
They interact with all these animals. But they roll in the grass. Oh, the roll in the grass, though.
But see here, I mean, the activity for Pocahontas and John Smith, I think that edges out for me. But the quality of the connection, I am sold on David and Nani because, again, for me, the sexiness of the I'm spending a date with your little sister and making her feel included and special. Mm-hmm. That does that. That is a big thing in my book. Family is a big thing for me, and getting along with the family is a big thing for me. And so, like, that quality of the connection sends it a little bit above, because, like, it's not like Pocahontas and John Smith, where, like, John is being a dumbass colonial and she has to lecture him.
Yeah, and there's just another Nani level of significance. Yeah, even if you don't like the beach, the significance of that moment is like, I'm going to show up for you. So, yeah,
and that's what David is. Like, he just keeps showing up for her when she needs it.
Yeah. I'll give it to him. Yeah.
I want to say Nani and David.
Yeah, I will give it. Let's do it. Yeah.
All right, so now we're moving into our next category, which is what's for dinner. So these are all dates that feature food or are centered around food in some sort of way.
So our first two dates in this What's for Dinner category are Mike and Celia from Monsters, Inc. having dinner for Celia's birthday at Harryhausen's. And the other, what a duo of these dates.
I know, right?
The other is Nick Parker and Elizabeth James from The Parent Trap having dinner on the yacht orchestrated by their daughters, being served by Chessie, who is paying way too much attention to their conversation.
As the sommelier.
It's just recreating the whole goal that Hallie and Annie have in that moment is to recreate Nick and Elizabeth's meeting and real first date on the QE2 when they fell in love. So, you know, this is the interesting thing. Neither of these dates end on the note that we would want them to. I mean,
no.
Mike and Celia ends in complete chaos and disaster, but
she ends up in like a couple block radius laser quarantine.
Yeah, and she absolutely hates
on her birthday.
Yeah, even if that had never happened, let's say it hadn't just, you know, fallen into complete chaos once Boo is, you know, running around the restaurant. Even then, even if Sully had come over to the table and talked with Mike and kind of left, that is not your friend kind of third wheeling for a minute and butting in is so not what anybody would want, but so is not what Celia wants. She just wants it to be special and romantic. And it just
and I feel
isn't.
Bad because that's not Mike's fault at all. Mike is doing everything right in this situation. He's trying. And it's a very romantic. Like he did what he had to do. He swallowed his pride and he asked his friend to help him get a reservation in the most exclusive restaurant in town.
That's true.
And he's saying romantic things in there, like the your hair was shorter then. I'm thinking about cutting it. No, I like it just the way you are. The connection is there. It's like a proposal date.
Yeah. And that's the thing is the quality of the activity, like going to an exclusive sushi restaurant. I mean, that ranks pretty high up there for me personally.
Because it also shows that Celia is someone who restaurants and dinner and
gestures,
and things like that. That is something that is important to her. Like she appreciates good food, and the fact that he would get her into a restaurant that she wanted to go in, but it's impossible for her to go to. He knew exactly what would make her day, and he got that for her. And that does a lot for me in my book.
Yeah,
it just ends horribly.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. She ends up very mad at him. Is it the kind of like permanent rift in the relationship, Matt? I don't think so. Whereas Nick and Elizabeth, after the conversation, first of all, I mean, if we talk about the quality of the activity, it's so high up there. I mean, recreating the moment that you two fell in love. Granted, Nick did not arrange this. So kind of points off for that. But that idea is so romantic. However, their conversation is very Elizabeth kind of just being like, yep, we're just going to figure out what to do about the girls. And hey, we both got what we wanted, right? Like, that's it. Nick is like making moves, making eyes, trying to hint at like, hey, why did we ever break up? And she is just, she's not having it. So their connection, I can feel them feel it. I can feel them be transported back to when they first met. But it ends on a very like, it stresses me out a little bit. The note that it ends on is like, it could be the end of them forever. Like they arrange the custody situation and that's it. That's what it feels like when this date is over.
So in terms of connection, would you say Celia and Mike have it over that? Because we know that at the end, it might not be the end, whereas it feels a little bit more final with Nick and Elizabeth.
It's hard because in the most romantic moment of each date, I think Nick and Elizabeth's date is more romantic because you see them feeling like remembering what that feeling was when they mm-hmm. first met. And I'm such a sucker for that. Whereas like obviously like Mike and Celia is very comfortable. It's adorable when he's talking about when he first saw her. But the more swoony romantic moment is kind of with Nick and Elizabeth.
So then I guess it comes down to the quality of the activity.
I would do either of these things. These both sound fantastic.
Is a dinner that was planned by your significant other at an exclusive restaurant that you would want to go to, is that more important than a dinner that's a recreation of the first night that you met and fell in love that you didn't play a role in planning?
I will say Celia's is for her birthday. It's not just for the pure romance of it. It's true. For that, you know, it's not just because it's like, I love you. It's her birthday. I don't know. I'm leaning towards Nick and Elizabeth a little bit just because of the way that they look at each other. And
it's the conversation that they have.
It's a deep conversation that they have, too.
The day that they separated.
Yeah.
And when she's like, and I got on my first 747 and you didn't come after me. And then he says, I didn't know that you wanted me to come after you.
And he's even flirting with her when he's like, yeah, you threw like a hair dryer at my head. The way he looks at her when he says that.
Hair dryer.
It's sexual.
And she does the like smile and sort of looks away. I'm like, she is flirting a little bit. She's letting herself feel some of the things. She does put her guard up. But I don't think that it's enough of her guard that doesn't help them get to the place that they end up finally.
And they do get to finish their meal, unlike Mike and Celia.
True. Points for finishing a meal.
Yeah.
All right. We're giving it to Nick and Elizabeth.
Wow. Yeah.
Our next pair of dates, we have Lady and Tramp. And this is their dinner at Tony's, the spaghetti dinner being serenaded by Tony. And then their stroll through the park and their little cement paw prints as they sort of just like go through the park and look out at the moon and everything. And the other is Tiana and Naveen. And this is the date where Naveen is planning to propose to Tiana. It happens on the riverboat, up at the very top of the riverboat. He has minced all of the food for Tiana the way
that
he has
a little ring in a nutshell.
Yep, the way that she had taught him. He has Bo, his moth friend, as a bow tie as a last resort. and they go down the river past the restaurant that Tiana wants.
Yeah. This might be the toughest pairing for me. These are two of my favorite moments. Like, I love them both.
These are really good. Tiana and Naveen, what happens in their date, the quality of the connection is honestly really interesting. Because on paper, you wouldn't say that it ends well,
right?
Because Naveen doesn't propose. But both of these characters end up in a better and more developed place than I think they were when they started in. Because Naveen, you see him willing to sacrifice something that he wants for someone else's dream, which is a huge step for his character. And Tiana, who is always so sure of herself and knows exactly what she wants, is taking a moment to feel herself be a little bit lost in maybe the way that I'm driven. I have too many blinders up and I'm not seeing some of the things that are right there.
Mm-hmm.
So the quality of the connection, while like, yeah, they do sort of miss each other by the end of it.
But we get her saying to him like, hey, no, I think it's cute. That's a lot for her to say. She's very guarded. Like, so that's a pretty big step.
And honestly, when she goes, you missed, and he goes, I did. And
very cute.
There's something very charming about like that. Like they're sort of like goofy and he's being clumsy and tripping over himself, which is not something that he's ever really does. So, I mean, they're definitely connecting. I like the complexity of this connection, whereas I do think that Lady and Tramp's connection is pretty straightforward.
But it's just so...
But it's so romantic.
It's so head over heels. Like, the way that, like, when Lady, like, looks up at the stars and she gets the little, like, literal twinkle in her eye. And the way that she keeps, like, turning away and, like blushing. It's so weird to be talking about dogs.
But also, I think that it's also animated so well in that Tramp keeps eating like a guy would.
He does. Yeah, he just
and she's
just
like not really eating much. She's just sort of soaking up the moment, but he keeps eating.
Yeah.
But also how excited he is to show
his favorite
Tony
place.
And them. Like, and the sort of like familial relationship between Tony and Tramp.
Right.
And Tony owns this restaurant. It's probably like a Friday night, like a busiest night. And he is out in the back making sure that this dog has the nicest meal, the special, and personally serenades him and his new girlfriend.
I know. Also, the food looks incredible. You know the food's incredible.
Food looks incredible.
And then just like,
it's
I don't
the
know.
Iconic what a, spaghetti it's kiss.
Yeah, the kiss. We do get a kiss in this. We get a kiss.
We do.
And also just like, also the iconic pause in the cement. Not only is that just iconic, but it's also like, I think the quality of a date, like when something unexpected happens and you have this thing that you both know is yours now when you leave is very romantic.
And also something so permanent as
cement. I know.
I feel like the sparks are just like flying. Like this is.
Yeah.
I think their date is going probably the best it could go at this point.
Yeah.
Whereas Tiana and Naveen's, while a valiant attempt, it is not going the best that it could be going. And to be honest, would I rather have some minced vegetables from Naveen or a spaghetti dinner at Tony's? I would rather have a spaghetti dinner at Tony's. In fact, I did have a spaghetti dinner at Tony's.
Yes.
And it was great.
Yeah.
I think Lady and Tramp have it for me.
Me too.
I think this is a really good date.
I'm such a sucker for that movie, man. Ooh.
And Bella Nate is just... Oh, God. Beautiful song.
Give me those vibes. The checkered tablecloth and the meatballs and the candles.
Hell yeah. A spaghetti dinner is it's great.
Okay, let's go on to our next two dates. So first up, we have Kermit and Miss Piggy having dinner with a little wine tasting with a fantastic guest appearance by Steve Martin as the server / sommelier, having a sommelier moment. Just like... the server with the worst attitude on the planet. And it just totally goes over Kermit and Piggy's heads, which might be my favorite part of the whole thing.
The 95-cent
wine? Yeah.
Should be for 95 cents.
Kermit and Piggy are having such a good time that they don't even notice. And then our other date is... Connor thinks this is a stretch, but I'm with it. It's Padme and Anakin on Naboo having a picnic. Now, the most iconic part of this scene to me with them in the grass is Padme's outfit. So if you need to place it, it's when
and
she's in
that
golden...
this has become memed.
Yes, also that. When she's in like the golden off-the-shoulder gown, she has her the two buns on each side wrapped in like the netting... and her hair is all curled. You
iconic.
Know what I'm talking about. Iconic. So they, you know, there's a picnic there. We don't see them eat. But they're, you know, talking about the government. And how the
politics.
Government should be run. And then the nice thing is after that, they end that on a lighthearted note. Roll around in the grass together and just kind of fool around.
Yeah, with these like big animal things, and he's riding when
like
he falls off,
armadillos.
and he pretends that he's like hurt, and she comes over to him, and he grabs her, and then they start rolling. I'm
rolling,
like,
yeah.
You sly
kind
little
of,
dog,
kind of cute. I mean, it's like again, quality of the connection. I think are high in both of these instances. For me,
yeah,
it does show...
Yeah, because Kermit and Piggy are, like, yeah, locked
it's,
in.
It's the best that we ever see Kermit and Piggy, let's be real. And also, again, just the fact that the nastiness of their server does not affect them at all. It's also because they're just so pure and naive, but also,
and
it
the
just,
two of
it,
them
it doesn't
could
bother
sit there
them.
Drinking their wine in
with
silence.
A straw?
Out with straws.
With straws. But, like, Kermit really is putting on the moves. Like, he's there first. He's waiting for her. He has mm-hmm. already ordered the wine. He's putting in a lot of effort. Mm-hmm. Which, again, they have very complicated...
And she's played her cards where she's like, yeah. I hope you weren't waiting too long. Like, they're yeah. playing the game.
They are. And they're much more pleasant to each other than we normally see them. Just like...
Yes.
Yeah. She's a little bit more subdued. Kermit's a little bit more confident, which I like to see.
Where I don't know that Anakin and Padme are necessarily playing the game to start at their picnic. Mm-hmm. When they're talking politics and Anakin's like, I'm teasing like Senator blah, blah,
yeah,
blah,
blah. Mm-hmm.
He is, but he also isn't because he does actually kind of believe in a dictatorship
exactly.
because he becomes fucking
exactly.
Darth Vader.
But he's like, just kidding.
He's like, just kidding.
I will say... The idea, though, like the actual activity, like if someone was like, let's have a picnic in a beautiful location and actually talk about real things, that's very appealing to me.
Yes.
That's
and then he's appealing. Talking about something that is important to her and able to make jokes about it and
but also,
get her to
like,
laugh at it.
Teasing
too.
Her,
that's
but
hot.
Also, but also like reminding her how powerful she is. He's like, oh, I would never like, you know, I don't want to tease a senator. There, it's pretty hot.
There is a little bit of like.
He keeps saying you're a senator,
Dom sub situation
yeah,
happening with the
a little,
two of
a little
them,
bit,
especially
a little bit.
Later that evening.
Oh, my God. The scene in the dark.
In the dark. Activity, I think Picnic on Naboo, because also Naboo is just like a gorgeous
yeah,
planet.
Yeah, take me to Naboo, yeah.
That activity is better for me. Quality of connection.
I don't know. I'm still going to go Padme and Anakin because they're able to... switch it up. They're able to be serious. They're exploring different aspects of this. And
that's
then to
true.
Be
we
silly.
See more levels.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I will go with that too. Padme and Anakin.
Hmm.
Valiant effort, Piggy and Kermit.
Very,
but
yeah.
Padme and Anakin, their doomed love has eked out ahead.
Yeah. Yeah.
And our last two dates in this category, we have Carl and Ellie from Up. This is part of the married life montage. This is when they would go up the hill to the tree where they would have their picnic that eventually becomes the place where they will look into the sky and look for clouds that look like different animals.
See?
And then they see the sky full
babies.
Of babies. And then it's
and
also
then he's trying to walk up
the place where she falls. And yeah, but it's their picnic. We're going to go with their first couple picnics
looking at
under
the
tree. Looking at the clouds. And the other date is Giselle and Robert from Enchanted. And this is their Italian dinner that they have, which Robert insists is not a date. But
yeah,
they're two people having dinner together at a nice place. And Giselle's like, this is a date. And she's
he's
right.
Like, no.
And he's like, no, because
like,
my
no,
daughter's here, even though she's across the thing. I'm like, they're sitting at the table together having a pizza, talking about deep things.
Yeah.
It's a date. So these are our two.
Listen, the pizza looked delicious.
The pizza
wrong
looked
with me, but
so
the pizza
effing
looks so good.
Good. It looks so good. That's
it
a pizza.
Really good.
That's a pizza.
But again, I mean, the place, the spot is great. Having dinner at a classic Italian restaurant, great. But I don't know. Then the person just flat out saying we're just friends. That goes a little bit more into connection. But then
sure.
it's not. She says this is a date and he denies it. That's huge. No.
But he also talks about his wife.
Yeah.
Who,
so the connection in this is high quality. Yeah.
Yeah. He admits that he doesn't talk, like he does not talk
yeah.
about his wife. And
yeah.
Giselle is able to get him to talk about his wife with her and like relates to him and is like, thank you for telling me, like that sort of thing. Of like, there's a trust that's building happening in this date,
yeah.
which is very attractive.
But then he's still just like, ugh, that's why I don't believe in fairy tales. Like, true love isn't like
yeah,
the way
that you think
it is. Yeah, he is
kind of a Debbie Downer.
He is.
Because then you have Carl and Ellie where this is clearly like their spot. Yeah. And I don't know, a date in your spot is always going to be good.
Yeah. And the fact that it eventually becomes like moving forward into talking about having children together. I mean, come on.
Like you're going to remember that date. You're going to remember that moment forever. It's why it made it into the montage. Yeah. So for me, it's, Carl it's and that. Ellie, Absolutely. Their picnic has it.
Yeah. Somebody take me to that pizza place, though. For real.
God, give me that pizza. Oh, my God.
All right. We are moving right along to our next category of dates, which we've titled On the Town. So this is when our couples are getting out and about, having a little bit more of an activity-filled moment together. So our first two dates in this category are Ariel and Eric on their trip to the village, which then leads into Kiss the Girl. So with that absolutely fantastic jig underscore, they're in town. They take a carriage ride. They're in town. They dance together in town. She buys like baguettes and a hat, and he lets her drive the carriage, and he almost has a heart attack, but then is thrilled by how different
she is. And leans back.
Yes, leans back. And then they load themselves into the boat for Kiss the Girl. Okay. And then we have Kida and Milo from Atlantis. So this is when they are exploring Atlantis together, kind of going back and forth, asking each other about each other's cultures. She's asking him tons of questions about his companions. They eat together at one point. They're climbing on rocks at one point. They're also kind of solving the entire mystery together the entire time.
Yeah, going
so it's very
underwater.
Action-packed. Yeah, it's very action-packed. So, quality of the activity.
Quality
of the
activity.
I mean, for me. I don't really want to climb. I'm going to be real.
I knew that was coming.
I don't want to do that.
Yeah. Prince Eric and Ariel, their activities seem a little bit milder. It feels a little bit more speed of a date. But I will say for Kida and Milo, that is very much their speed. Those are the things
that they like to do.
So
they
are doing things that they like to do.
It's very them.
And
you're right.
I mean, the thing that does attract me to that is like exploring an ancient civilization. That's, I would geek out hard. I would love to do that. And a culture that is so vastly different from yours. But I guess Ariel's experiencing that as well.
Kind of, yeah. There's just less communication possible. That's the thing.
Yeah. And see, that's the quality of the connection there for me. Like, there is something to be said that Ariel and Eric are able to communicate with each other without words and have a connection without words. Like, that's hard to do, and they definitely do it. But I do love the information exchange between Kida and Milo. It's
like you said,
so
it's very them. It's very unique. Like, you don't see a lot of Disney couples like them.
And I will say, them putting those fireflies into the lantern.
I know,
and
into the lantern. I know.
The stripping down to go swimming.
I know. And his little shorts
that's
blow
like
up
some
when he gets
Tarzan,
into the water.
That's some like Tarzan and Jane Central. And like how close they have to be and how dark it is except for the glow of her crystal.
Yeah.
And they're solving a mystery together. Like, I do love that.
Yeah,
I
don't
do
know.
Love
there's
that.
There's just something for me in the look on Prince Eric's face when Ariel drives the carriage over like a canyon, pretty much. And when he pops his head back up and realizes they haven't died, you can just see so much happen for him. And like, he looks at her and you just know exactly what he's thinking. Like, I have never met anybody like this. And I'm so into it because he just sits back and like lets it happen. And the fact that it's like then he wants to continue on into, there's no avoiding the fact that the boat ride is romantic.
I know.
You
it does
do that with
it has
someone.
This,
yeah.
That is the thing that's going to eke it out for me is you get Kiss the Girl and Atlantis, you don't get a song. But I have to say that Milo and Kida, they gave Prince Eric and Ariel a little bit more of a run for their money my brain than I thought that they would. Rewatching the scene, there's a lot of similar things happening between Ariel and
it's
Eric and Kida and Milo.
It's true.
But Ariel and Eric, I think, have it for me.
Yeah. I mean, especially when all of the sea creatures, you know, join in to make it happen? I mean, come on.
No, when Flounder joins in. Oh. When Flounder becomes one of the fishes. Bless him. Oh. Bless his little Flounder. Yellow and blue heart. Our next pairs of dates, we have Linguini and Colette from Ratatouille. And this is a very, very brief moment that we see them in sort of like a montage of their relationship mm-hmm. after he kisses her unexpectedly and she has the pepper spray ready. But we see them rollerblading through Paris, which is a great date. It's a great idea for a date.
Yeah, yeah.
And the other pair that we have, I had to.
So good.
Is Max Dennison and Allison from Hocus Pocus bringing witches back to life and spending their entire Halloween trying to kill them. And yeah. I could not be more different. I mean,
I love it,
quality
though.
Of the activity. Quality of the activity. I mean, it depends on what we're talking about. It depends about how you look at it. Quality here, because for me and my idea of what a Hocus Pocus sequel should have been, probably would have looked into some of more of the actual trauma of the events of Hocus Pocus. And I mean, they've been through something together that many people have no idea happened.
Yeah. And at that age with the teenage dream feeling of like, oh, this is like my dream girl. That's, you know, there's something to that.
And I mean, with Linguini and Colette, their relationship is, again, sort of like a dreamy sort of situation. Like Colette's mm-hmm. very much out of Linguini's league and they're like an unlikely pair.
Yeah.
But for me, I don't know. Max Dennison and Allison.
No,
I'm like,
I am actually with you.
You now have a date that no one else will ever be able to touch.
Also, the points where they're like laying together and cuddling, it's like,
oh, yeah. And then the flirting with the salt. What about new boyfriends?
Yeah. Yeah. And also, like, that's like more of a conscious thing on their part. Whereas, like, if Remy hadn't made Linguini kiss Colette, I don't think he ever would have gotten the guts.
No, no. So Linguini and Colette, while you have a very nice date in Paris, rollerblading.
Yeah, it's a great date. Yeah.
I mean, we're killing these witches in Salem and
that the adrenaline of that will like tie you to somebody forever.
I mean, whether or not Max and Allison stay together at the end of this. This is a date that will be untouched. It is memorable. It is formative to them.
We're weird. We're weird. We're more into Max and Allison. You know what? Let's roll with it.
I feel Max and Allison, they're gonna make it from this. I think.
Yeah. And you'll never forget it. It's like also that teenage love. Like, oh my God.
And there's also a lot of listening and growing happening between both of them. All right, Max and Allison.
Good for them. All right. Moving right along. Our next pair of dates. We have Rapunzel and Flynn. A Day in Corona, the Kingdom Dance sequence into I See the Light. So they enter Corona. Flynn makes sure that Rapunzel's hair gets done. They buy baked goods. He buys her a souvenir. They dance with the townspeople and have their first real moment of like, wow, we're like making eyes at each other. We're looking
they
at each other.
Books and
they
study
read
maps
books together. And then, I mean, then literally going into I See the Light. I mean, truly nothing needs to be said about that. That's it. It's for me, I had to be aware of like, what am I going to be biased about going into this? And it's going to mm-hmm. be very hard to beat that moment for me. But anyway,
sure.
Our other date, we have Thomas and Duchess from the Aristocats. So going to Scat Cat's jazz concert at Thomas's, which then turns into Everybody Wants to Be a Cat. And I hadn't seen this in a while. So I was like, oh, I was watching and I was like, okay, like, you know, this isn't necessarily like, they're dancing together, but there's not a lot of connection. But then when Duchess gets on that, but then when Duchess gets on the harp and like Thomas is just like literally like melting as she sings about what turns her on. Like, if you want to turn me on. In front of her kids. Some of these animal relationships really upset me. They really do.
Hey, fellas.
Yes, it was very that for me. But it was a lot more fun and flirty and romantic than I remembered. So there's that. Yeah. So, you know, quality of the activity. I mean, The day in Corona is literally my dream day. So again,
it's
I'm
a
biased.
Dream day.
But yeah. Listen, a jazz concert like in someone's cool like downtown pad, as they would say, pretty cool also.
And I will say that there again is something to be said of my date gets along really well with my three kids who are my life.
Yeah,
that's important. And
yeah, you just
he
have to
goes
rein
out of his way
in front
to
of your children
them and just all of that, and then she goes in heat by the end of that
song.
Yeah,
don't do that in front of your kids.
But like they end
that.
In terms of the quality of connection, they also like talk about a future together on that rooftop afterwards.
Yeah.
But in the same way of sort of like Nick and Elizabeth, uh-huh. she's talking about like the what can and cannot be, that uh-huh. sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, the Kingdom Dance into I See the Light sequence is probably one of the most romantic
it is
gonna win this this matchup at least.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
that's it.
Yeah, so that's it.
Thank you. Next,
and the last one in On the Town, we have two dates here. We have Megara and Hercules. This is them. We see them in the film coming into Meg's garden. And this is after they've had dinner by the bay and they saw Oedipus. They saw the first production of Oedipus. And then they're just talking in the garden lit by the moonlight. And then they are interrupted eventually by Phil and Pegasus, who finally find mm-hmm. Hercules after he's been playing hooky. And the other date that we have here is Anna and Hans. Mm-hmm. This is Love is an Open Door, where they basically go all throughout Arendelle from, you know, the palace itself to mm-hmm. the stables, to the lighthouse, to the
waterfall.
It's quite romantic and it's dancing and singing and it's great.
Yeah, yeah. For me, it's difficult. These are interesting. Again, knowing the ulterior motive behind the characters in each of these is very interesting. But we're not really talking about that. So let's just start with the activity. I mean, dinner and a show, plus then the setting of this garden with the pools of water
and
the moon.
The scoring, Meg's garden scoring is also so good. It's up there with The Kiss for me.
Yeah, I agree with you. And it's tough because it's like she is asking him about his weaknesses, obviously trying, like she wants to be on his side, but is still just doing what she needs to do for Hades at that point. But it does go into a really fantastic conversation of just like falling in love. And like, he promises her that he's never going to hurt her.
Yeah.
And there's just sitting on the side of the pool. It's under the moon, and he gives her the flower, and her reaction when he kisses her cheek before he leaves. Mm. Oh, my God.
That's good.
So she's really being won over by him despite her best efforts, which is, I think, says a lot about the connection, because she really has a job to do and she can't help but fall in love with this guy.
Yeah. Whereas with Hans, in terms of their connection, he's in it for the get-go, but making her fall in love with him is his goal, where mm-hmm. I think Meg is different because her goal is to find out what the
weakness just find out more
is.
About him. Yeah.
The falling in love isn't necessarily the mission. It's happening as like a byproduct. For uh-huh. Hans, it's the mission.
Yeah.
But even still, they do have a genuine connection, it
seems.
I
know. Yeah. Talking about their families. Yeah.
He's just a dick.
Yeah. Also, this is another one where we go all around the kingdom. And that's not the most unique. The scene between Meg and Hercules, I find to be very unique. We don't really see something like kind of, we see quiet, but I don't know, the conversation they have is very realistic and modern as well.
I just like, I want to go to that waterfall. That's my thing. I want to go to that waterfall.
Yeah, but what about
I
the water
dance
features
at the
in
lighthouse?
The garden?
The waterfall.
For me, it's, I don't know, also just the way that, again, she's playing a part, but the way that Meg is like letting her little like the little like strap of her gown fall and kind of like leaning into him. I mean,
she's coming on real strong, and he's like backing away from it.
It's because he's feeling too much.
Okay, I'll give it to Meg and Hercules only because Meg ends up being a good guy. And Hans does not end up being a good guy. Spoiler alert. And our last category here, we have love at first sight. So these are all of our meet cutes, love at first sight, exactly as it sounds.
All right. So for our first pairing, we've got these meet cutes that happen simultaneously. So the first being Anita and Roger first meeting in the park in 101 Dalmatians. And at the same time, Pongo and Perdita meeting in the park. So this whole thing is really orchestrated by Pongo. Good job, Pongo. So again, Connor and I were talking about this. There's the animated version, which is awesome, but it happens very quickly. Like, Pongo quickly assesses the situation, wants to get over to where Perdita is, gets Roger and Anita tangled up. They fall into the water. It all happens pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. But Connor also brought up the live action 101 Dalmatians, which the same sort of thing happens. We've got people falling into the water. The dogs are interacting and falling in love. But Connor directed me towards something that I actually forgot existed for a minute, which is the scene after in the live action movie where Anita and Roger are drying off in his apartment. And he asks her if she would like another cup of marriage. After they're talking about the fact that their dogs can't be separated, their clothes are drying by the fire. And how does she say it? She's just like, I do, or I will.
She says, I do, I will. And then he goes, you will? And she says, if you ask me. And then he says, would you? And she says, yes. And then they kiss and the music swells and it's beautiful and their clothes catch on fire.
And we go right into their wedding.
Into their wedding. The live action 101 Dalmatians, this meet cute scene for me is the superior version to the animated one. The dialogue is incredible. The way they've expanded and deepened this scene for the live action film is amazing. Just like the quippy remarks back and forth between Roger and Anita. She says that she's never been rescued before, and he talks about giving her mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, but it was hard to do because she had her arms wrapped around his neck. And
listen, I know
this might be the best meet cute ever. It might be the best written meet cute ever.
And we're going to give it to them. But I have to say, number one, it wouldn't have happened in the first place without the dogs. And also, that even in the live-action version, the dogs being so attached to each other already is what makes them be like, well, we can't separate the dogs.
But so are Anita and Roger. They are instantaneously attached to one another. But the social norms of society are like keeping them apart. And like, that's the whole reason why when he says like, would you like another cup of marriage? And he has the faux pas and she's like, yeah, I'm into it. And they get married.
Yeah, no, I'll give it to the two of them. Absolutely. But again, I feel like the dogs give them that freedom. I think they would have been a bit more guarded than that. So I just want to give Pongo and Perdita there. I'll think Pongo and Perdita are so cute. I love them.
They are.
I love them.
But I just think the scene between Roger and Anita in the live action version is written so incredibly well.
It's very well done.
All right. Our next set of dates that we have here, we have Bambi and Feline. So these are two animals that met each other as children and then reconnect when they're older at the same place where they met as kids by the little pond. Yeah. And Feline reintroduces herself to Bambi. She gives him a little kiss on the cheek and Bambi goes nuts and is like crazy and it kind of like Rudolph and Clarice moment.
Yeah, and it is.
Then he gets his antlers tangled in the tree and they have like all these flowers in the tree, and then it transitions into this like dream sequence of them bounding through the clouds, and it's very cute and it's very charming.
Yeah, and she is making eyes.
Just as our next pair,
yes.
Simba and Nala, again, two friends who had met as children reconnecting as they are older, accompanied by Can You Feel the Love Tonight? And this, we see them do a couple different activities from, you know, just running through the savannah, wading and swimming in the pool. And he pulls her in and she comes out and she's all wet and she looks crazy. And then he comes out and he looks all crazy too.
And she pushes him. Again, we've got more rolling around in the grass.
Yep, and this time he finally pins her, which, because they had the whole pinge again thing when they were kids, but he pins her.
And she and looks Nala perfectly
makes
fine
the
with that.
Infamous Nala eyes. And yeah.
It's that. It's Can You Feel the Love Tonight? I mean, listen, no offense.
It's got a song.
To Bambi and Feline, all right? Also, the cloud sequence is cute, but also a little odd for me. A little odd.
Yeah, it is, because it's like, is this real or is this not? Where everything happens in Can You Feel the Love Tonight is very concrete.
Again, with
and
real
we understand
conversations
what it is.
That happened right before, where like Simba says to Timon and Pumbaa, he's like, you need to like give us a few minutes alone. Like, we have things we need to talk about. So,
yeah. Absolutely. Whereas Feline just shows up and she's like, hi, Bambi. I'm Feline. Remember me? Kiss.
Simple.
Wow, we went real fast. Yeah. All right, congratulations, Simba and Nala. You live to fight another day.
Whew, our next two meet cute moments are two very classic ones. So first, we have Snow White and Prince Florian in one song. So we see Snow White, she is being forced to clean and serve her stepmother. She's singing into the well, and Florian, passing by on his horse, hears her and just immediately joins in. She runs away. She runs up to her room with a balcony. She continues to look at him, listen to his song. Then she sends a pigeon down with a kiss from her to Florian. No words are exchanged, but maybe they don't need to be. We'll decide that. Our other pairing, again, not a lot of words exchanged. So again, we're going by the animated version of the meeting between Cinderella and Prince Charming, which goes right into, he basically kisses her hand when she arrives at the ball. They immediately start dancing, and we go into So This Is Love, in which they walk the castle grounds through the gardens and over a little bridge, and they dance in like a sparkling meadow, and it's just all very dreamy. So I guess when I start to explain it that way, I guess I know which one's better. I mean, at a ball versus...
I'm in rags, and this is like a non... Like, she runs away from him.
But then she sends him the kiss. And also, I gotta say, though, I do love a balcony moment. I just think they're so romantic.
I know,
where you're
also
you're
like,
physically separated, but you're trying to tell them something. I can get down with that.
She ran away. If she wanted to, she could have gone back down to him. Exactly the
shy.
Same way that she ran away.
She's like a child also, but she's shy.
I know, but I don't know. Yeah. It's creepy because she's looking into the well, and then he just pops up over her shoulder.
I would have shat
it's
myself.
It's jarring. And I'm like, that's not how I want to start out a
At least the prince comes
moment.
Up to her. Cinderella is startled as well, but he taps her, kisses her hand. I mean, thank goodness this is not the Brandy Cinderella version, because it would be literally every other moment.
Or even the Lily James Richard Madden one, even where then he takes her to the swing. The swing.
Oh, the swing. The swing. The secret swing.
The secret swing. Oh my god.
But yeah,
so
we'll
romantic.
Give it to Cinderella and Prince Charming.
Good job, CNPC. And our final set of dates in this category, we have
I hate you so much.
We have Arthur and the Female Squirrel.
I can't believe you made me rewatch this scene. I hate you.
From The Sword and the Stone. This is the scene where Arthur was transformed into a squirrel by Merlin and is learning how to survive as squirrels do, learning valuable bits of information that will serve him well when he is eventually king, that he doesn't know that he's going to be king. And a female red squirrel falls in love with Arthur immediately and pursues him. But unfortunately, it tragically ends with Wart being transformed back into his human self and her realizing that
and
he was a human.
Is so
and she
sad.
Is distraught.
And let me tell you, I hate
crying.
Everything about that sequence. But when she's crying,
it's very
it really
sad.
Hurts. It hurts. Oh, yeah. Everything about it I hate. Oh, I hate.
And then our next and final date is Aurora and Philip meeting in the forest where he is attracted to her voice. They dance and sing Once Upon a Dream together. they dance through the most beautiful forest ever, reflected in the water in front of them. And then they go off into the cliff and by the tree and just sort of stand together and breathe and romantic
can't stand
themselves
you.
Into something nice. So that's that.
Well, obviously it's them. All right. Just.
It's them. Cause I mean, Once Upon a Dream, and also their costuming him with the black and the brown, and her with the black and the mauve. And
but if we're talking about the quality of the activity, again, being crept upon by a stranger, we've talked about this before, but it's fine.
But also one date is non-consensual.
And could never be able to continue on, so fine.
No. Yeah.
Fine.
Good job, Aurora and Philip. You won something from Caroline. All right. So now we've made it all the way through our first round. So let's go right back around to the great outdoors and let's do round two. And already they are going to get really, really tough, really, really fast. Caroline, kick us off. What's our first two dates?
Our first two dates. We are back to Aladdin and Jasmine on the magic carpet with a whole new world. And then Beauty and the Beast, something there. Now, basing this off of our previous conversation, which got me thinking about the quality of the connection, the romance is way stronger in a whole new world.
The pure romance is way stronger. And there are some really like sexy things that happen. Like watching Jasmine's such an amazing character because she doesn't miss a beat. She is whip smart. And watching her connect the dots with Ali in all of those little moments throughout a very romantic song where she's letting herself like be on the date, but also is solving a mystery. Having her have like an A and a B story through this is kind of amazing.
Yeah. And all started with her being like, get off my balcony. I don't want to talk to you. And he's able to charm her. Yeah.
He charms her to China. And I agree. Like, I do think something there is incredible and very romantic and everything. But I would say that maybe the library is more romantic.
And then the ball. The ball itself. Yeah,
like, if the ball was up against a whole new world, it would be a different story.
Yeah, it would be
but
different.
But something there is up against a whole new world. And I'm sorry, you're going to have a really hard time beating an activity like flying a magic carpet halfway around the world.
Yeah, it's unbeatable. It's unbeatable. Yeah.
And the other two dates that we have in this category, we have Wally and Eve define dancing up against Nani and David for Hawaiian roller coaster ride.
Mm.
I think, again, pure romance for me. Yeah. Wally and Eve takes it.
Yeah.
While I do think Nani and Dave is very...
It's lovely, but it still has more growing to do.
Yes.
We have a kiss between Wally and Eve. The stars,
and the stakes like couldn't be higher as well.
It has like, implications realized, for the world at large.
They're gonna save humanity, and they celebrate with a dance through space.
Yeah. Okay, back to the dinners. So now we have Nick and Elizabeth on the yacht against Lady and the Tramp at Tony's. Ooh, but it's for me. Lady and the Tramp. It's coming down to pure romance. And again, we had some reservations about Nick and Elizabeth. Whereas with Lady and the Tramp, obviously we know they come from two very different worlds. But like the connection that's happening there is reciprocated. You know, it's so clear. It's so clear. And there's, like you said, there's a lot of him taking care of her and looking out for her and creating these like core memory moments. I mean, please.
I agree. Rewatching this scene, it really is just like, it's quite something. Like
It's so good. You can
feel that it is like a real moment in film happening happening. You can feel it being elevated outside of the thing itself, this scene.
Yeah, I agree with you.
And also in the food category, we have the Battle of the Picnics. We have Padme and Anakin versus Carl and Ellie.
Now, see, this is like established love versus like new love.
Yeah.
Again, we have disadvantage for Carl and Ellie. We know that at some point they start talking about having children. We don't really know what they're talking about. They're talking about what they see in the clouds. Again, I'll come back to Padme and Anakin. talk about government and about her job and their beliefs about the government. And then they roll around and make each other laugh, too.
There is something pretty hot about a forbidden love.
Please.
And like they both know that what they're doing is dangerous.
Yeah.
Like, Carl and Ellie, on the other hand, is like so it's wholesome and right.
Yeah, I know. But like knowing that, like, you know, in the picnic scene, they don't kiss because they know that they can't. I love that.
They don't kiss with Carl and Ellie because they don't need to. You're Padme and Anakin, aren't you?
I kind of am. I think there's just so many layers to it. Again, and Carl and Ellie are just a little, it's part of a montage, so they're at a disadvantage for that reason. But
that's true.
I just think there's a lot going on.
We do get more with Padme and Anakin in terms of their actual date.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's setting. I love the hill. I know, and
Naboo.
Naboo, please.
I know, the quality of the activity, like Naboo, it's a different planet. It's not Earth.
Yeah.
That's pretty great.
Yeah.
Okay. Padme and Anakin can have this one.
Oh, goody.
I mean, don't get too excited. They're going up against Lady and the Tramp next.
All right. Moving right along to our on the town dates. So now we've got Ariel and Eric's trip to the village against Max and Allison raising the Sanderson sisters from the grave. What a contrast.
Love. A whole movie.
Yeah, I know. young love, core memories, like teases of physical affection as well. Like they both tease at that and nobody ever really fully goes for it. So the tease is part of it, which is nice. Again, it's like adventure versus something that's lovely.
I do think that there is more of a romantic connection being established between Eric and Ariel.
Right.
Than there necessarily is between Allison and Max, given that Allison and Max's relationship is not the primary story of Hocus Pocus. It's between Max and Danny.
Yeah.
I do think Ariel and Eric sort of edge it out in terms of the quality of the connection that they're building. It does feel a little bit more solidly built on romance.
And when you think about like the lyrics of Kiss the Girl, this one always stands out to me. When Sebastian's like, yes, you want her. Look at her. You know you do. Oh my God. Like, whoa.
Yeah, you can tell a gay man wrote those lyrics. Because they're good.
They're really good.
So I think Max and Allison, I mean, they've got some... It's going to be hard for me to continue to say that a relationship...
And it's a less conscious
a romance. Date. Yeah, that a romance that is built upon a pretty traumatic event is going to continue going forward. So I think Ariel and Eric do have it on this one.
Yeah.
And our next two dates in this category, we have... Rapunzel and Flynn Rider up against Megara and Hercules.
I know the answer, but it hurts me a little. I won't lie. I love the Meg and Hercules moment. I love the setting. I love what comes. I love the understanding between them that happens and the sweetness of it. But like, again, I see the light. I mean, come on.
It's Rapunzel and Flynn.
It's Rapunzel and Flynn. I love Meg and Hercules. I mean,
that is a perfect day beginning to end.
It's true. And there's no deception. Well, there is a little bit of deception going on. A little bit.
A little bit of deception, but not as...
Yeah.
Because also Flynn is not unwilling to be open about his feelings. Like, he leans into the moment and is okay, whereas Megara pulls herself out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I respect and I like a guy that's comfortable enough with his feelings that he can, when he's just like, I'm starting to, and then he starts singing back to her. It's nice. It's real nice.
It is.
Where he abandons his ulterior motive in I see the light.
Yeah.
An advantage
of an absolutely stunning love duet.
Yeah, absolutely.
Whew. Back to our final category, love at first sight. So we have Anita and Roger's meet cute up against Simba and Nala's. We've got the
song. It's Roger and Anita for me.
I know for you. I know. And you know, I am not, I don't feel strongly enough to fight it. I love the scene between Simba and Nala. I love it. I love the scene. No, you've convinced me. I can get with Roger and Anita on this.
And folks, if you're like, Connor, what are you talking about? Seriously, watch 101 Dalmatians, the live action. Watch this scene. It's just whip smart. It's so good. Yeah. Roger and Anita. Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
A meet cute to end all meet cutes.
Yeah.
And then the other two dates that we have Cinderella and Prince Charming at the ball against Aurora and Prince Philip in the forest.
I mean,
that is one hot.
It's at the
forest.
Ball.
Oh, okay.
It is, well, but yeah. You're at the ball.
I know you're at the ball. And you kind of get to give the middle finger to your stepsisters.
Yeah,
and your
come on. And just
and
everybody else there, knowing that everybody is watching him kiss your hand and then choose you to dance with.
Yeah, I would live in me.
For that.
I do. The petty bitch loves that.
Absolutely.
All right. So Cinderella and Prince Charming take that.
Yeah.
All right. Looping back around. So figuring out who our representative from the great outdoors is going to be. We have Aladdin and Jasmine against Wally and Eve. See, this is interesting because they're very similar here.
Uh-huh.
And also, like, they are pretty balanced on the romance. While Jasmine has all of these really cool, like, figuring out the mystery moments, the stakes for Wally and Eve couldn't be higher.
But then we've got, I mean, think about it. The stakes are high for Aladdin also. Like, he used a wish for this. He knows that she thinks a certain way of him. He also can't reveal who he truly is.
But Wally went to space for her.
I know. But then if you think about the quality of the activity, listen, flying, dancing around through space would be really cool, but traveling the world on a magic carpet?
Yeah, and A Whole New World won an Oscar. Define Dancing didn't win an Oscar.
And if you want to think about it this way, I love the Wally and Eve kiss that kind of kicks the whole thing off. I like the build to Aladdin and Jasmine's kiss.
If we get A Whole New World and we get the kiss underscore, if you told me that I can have those two songs for Define Dancing, I would probably make that trade.
I would make the trade.
Even though I love Define Dancing.
I know.
Okay. Aladdin and Jasmine, you are representatives for the great outdoors. Congratulations.
Ooh, yeah. Feels right. Moving on to what's for dinner. Wow. We've got Lady and the Tramp at Tony's, and we have Padme and Anakin on Naboo.
Lady and Tramp are such a healthier relationship.
I know. But we don't get to hear them. We don't get to hear them speak in that scene.
No, we do a little bit because she asks about Tony and the other girls and everything like that. And he's like, oh, no, not a lot, blah, blah, blah. And he does like the Italian accent to like try and impress her. And it's like, I think that's pretty
charming. But also,
charming.
I agree. And then if we're thinking about I love Bellinote, but I also love the Naboo underscoring. I mean, please, that's the love theme.
It is very good. That's
it's
their
the
love
theme.
It's a tragic love theme, but...
It is. But a dinner versus like a casual picnic running around, I'm going to go with the dinner.
I'm going to go with a formal dinner and a stroll through the park. Yeah. Lady and Tramp, you are a representative from What's for Dinner.
Ugh.
Our next category we have On the Town. So we have Ariel and Eric up against Rapunzel and Flynn. And wow. I knew that this was going to end up happening. And this is a tough one because they're essentially the same type of date.
Yes, they are.
And they both
they
go into
in
the romance song.
It's true.
In a boat.
In a boat. Yeah.
Yeah. With like lighting effects.
With like a jig during the day in the town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now they get the do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-
They both danced together in town. They sampled the local delicacies. But we get a real love confession with Rapunzel and Flynn.
I know, but can we hold that against Ariel, given that she can't talk?
No, but I hold it against Eric. He was going to kiss her, true. But he could have done it sooner. He could have done it sooner. Don't get me wrong. Eric makes a beautiful day for Ariel, but with Flynn, it's all leading up to this thing that Rapunzel has asked for. Granted, it was a bargain.
That's true.
It was a bargain that they made. But he makes gets it her special because
he got yeah. her a lantern. He got them yeah. both lanterns.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Rapunzel and Flynn.
Yeah. And he managed to keep those lanterns a secret from her.
True. Points for
like,
that.
Like, he made that a surprise. Like, he yeah. gave her...
He got enough snacks for Maximus to distract him.
He got yeah. her a boat so that she'd have the best view of it, yeah. too.
Made sure her hair was looking good. Yeah.
Yeah. He kind of yeah. went all out for it.
He did. All right. Let's find the representative from our final category, Love at First Sight. So we have Anita and Roger and Cinderella and Prince Charming. Now, here's what I need to say. If we're going to consider the live action of 101 Dalmatians, it is only fair to consider a live action from Cinderella as well. I'm just saying. I wasn't going to say it, but now that it's between these two, I'm like, well.
But what if we only consider the live action of 101 Dalmatians and take the animated out of it?
That's cheating.
How is that cheating?
Because that wouldn't have been made without the original. Why don't we play the game of the live action has gotten this far. Why don't we do animated against animated? Animated Cinderella, animated 101 Dalmatians.
I don't want to because... because the live action one is so good.
Listen, it's up to you. We can go animated, animated, live action, or consider both for each one. That's up to you.
We can consider both, but we cannot consider Brandy Cinderella.
That is fair. That's fair. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Live action remakes. Great.
Okay.
Listen. Lily James and Richard Madden. Again, back to the secret swing. Talking about each other's families. The dance. The dance.
The dance is really good.
When she appears at the top of the stairs and he sees her and he's just like, this smile spreads across his face like he's never seen anything like it. Ah.
But see, the reason why we
I can't believe you're going to argue against that moment. It makes me so mad.
The reason we kind of can't consider the live action Cinderella is because that's not a meet cute. They've already met before. In the animated version, it is truly a meet cute. It is truly love at first sight. But for live action Cinderella, they met in the woods and they recognized one another.
Yeah, but they don't know. So they can't draw upon that. No. They cannot draw upon that experience because neither of them knows. So they cannot draw upon that previous experience.
No, they recognize each other.
No,
from that moment.
No.
Yes, they do.
No, they don't. Do not.
Yes, they do.
They absolutely don't. They would say something. They would say something.
Because she calls him Kit.
At the ball?
Yeah. In a secret swing moment.
Oh, but that's because they've been talking. That's not because she's drawing. No, no, no. No, no, no. I give you. They did meet before, but they don't know. They don't know that.
No, but he's like, I'm glad you came.
Yeah, because he's glad that she came because she rocks and she's beautiful.
Because he recognized her.
Absolutely not. Listen, I can't.
Roger
not,
and
I
Anita,
can't.
That scene is way too well written.
I don't know. I watched it and I was like, oh my God, adorable. But another cup of marriage. I just kind of like, what? Those two words don't sound the same.
It's supposed to be, they are aware of the absurdity of it.
Well, if you want to go by that, it's a little bit creepy. It's
no,
a little bit weird.
No. Stop
what
doing
What if I came
this.
To you and I'm like, excuse me, I met this guy today and we're getting married.
Stop doing this.
You would put me away.
You basically did that, though. You went to London and you said, I'm in love with
yeah,
you, like,
but
right
I
away.
10 years. I waited 10 years to do it, okay?
You went to London and within the first week, the two of you said, I love you. So you can't tell me this ain't real. You have no leg to stand on. Roger and Anita are the winner for me.
That's so weird to me. The fact that, listen, it's very adorable, but them getting this far in this is so friggin' weird to me. But fine, I'll give it to you. I'll just
thank
give it to you.
Because Cinderella and Prince Charming in the animated one, that is the true meet cute. Cinderella and Prince Charming in the live action, that's not a true meet
cute. I just think it's unfair that we were considering the live action of 101 Dalmatians and not Cinderella all along, but it's just not fair.
Well, we couldn't because it wouldn't have fit in the category because it's not a meet cute anymore.
It is. It's a meet cute in their current forms as the prince aristocratic woman.
But if we never considered the animated version of 101 Dalmatians and just went off live action like we did Parent Trap, I'm still comfortable doing that. And I still think live action 101 Dalmatians against animated Cinderella, I will take that scene. I think that scene is sexy.
Fine,
I think that meet cute is good. Roger and
Anita
are winners.
I wish we had been doing the
live action. I'm not letting you
Cinderella.
Dino Institute this shit to me. I'm not letting you
no,
do that.
No, but so many people are going to agree with me, okay? I know they are.
I don't care.
I can't believe I'm giving this to you. It makes no fucking sense.
You owe me.
Fine.
Watch the scene, everybody. You'll agree with me.
It's cute, y'all, but like, he's getting carried away.
Cinderella and Prince Charming in the live action is not a meet cute.
Wait a minute. Then Simba and Nala isn't a meet cute, and neither is Bambi and Feline. They met before. I poked a hole in your argument. They met before, and they know that they met before.
They were
so
pitted
against.
So it's
not a meet cute.
They were pitted against each other. It's love at first sight. They fell in love when they saw each other this time because they were children before. Cinderella and Kit may have fallen in love at first sight in the woods and they were adults. And when they saw themselves a second time, that was no longer first sight. They were already in love.
Oh my God, you're so
you
wrong.
Can't
you're
catch
so
me.
Wrong. You're so
all
wrong.
Right. Let's do our these are semifinals. Our other ones were quarterfinals. All right. So now we have Aladdin and Jasmine, A Whole New World versus Lady and the Tramp.
Ooh, that's hard. There's a lot of genuine connection happening between Lady and the Tramp in terms of like eye contact and like gestures made.
Aladdin and Jasmine end up in a kiss as well.
I know.
And leaning into one another.
Yeah, and they were both kisses by mistake, but that both couples do end up enjoying.
Yes. Like I do think like the carpet is like the spaghetti.
Wow.
Of the
90s. What a metaphor.
Carpet is the spaghetti of the 90s. We'll put it on a t-shirt.
Absolutely. I don't know. I'm very... Do you trust me?
I know. And A Whole New World is a better song than Bella Notte. As much as I love Bella Notte, like,
I know.
A Whole New World. Ugh.
Yeah, it's A Whole New World.
Aladdin and Jasmine, congratulations. Yeah. You're going to the final.
This is it. Yeah.
That was a tough one. Yeah. Not as tough as this one, though.
Your first couldn't be more wrong. That's why I would give it to you because I was like, it's fine.
So over here, we've got Rapunzel and Flynn Rider and Roger and Anita.
Time for them to be done. God love them.
Okay. Rapunzel and Flynn can
Rapunzel
take this
Flynn.
One. Damn.
You know what? And you rode hard for Roger and Anita, and I'll give you respect for that.
I had a feeling it was going to end up being these.
Me too, and I'm like dreading this. This is not going to be fun. It's not going to be fun. I'm going to feel kind of wrong about whatever we end up picking.
Here we are in the final, and we have Aladdin and Jasmine from the moment Aladdin meets her on the balcony. Do you trust me? A Whole New World brings her back to the palace. The kiss with the underscoring. His sigh and falling
when he
down
falls
before he
back.
Gets captured.
Wait, I forgot about when he falls back. Oh.
But in many ways, this is exactly what ends up happening to Flynn Rider, too.
Yeah, I know.
And then we've got Rapunzel and Flynn Rider, and this is them entering the Kingdom of Corona, their day together, their dance. And then I see the light on the boats.
It's like one, Rapunzel and Flynn is sort of like a crescendo. And Aladdin and Jasmine is like, well, I guess they're both crescendos, but it's like
Like a Sforzando. Starts small, gets really loud, and then comes back down to small.
Yes, yes. And it's like with Rapunzel and Flynn, it's like, I'm sure that they're both aware in some capacity that there's something. I don't think they fully realize it until they're dancing, but they've got that song inside of them. So I think there's an inkling in both of them that they might have feelings for each other. But it's interesting with Aladdin and Jasmine, like obviously Aladdin has feelings. He really has to win Jasmine over. It's a process. And I have to put some respect on that because that's not easy to do because she was like, get away from me.
That's true.
Like, you don't respect me. And just getting her to hear him out, it's something.
But I mean, so does Rapunzel. She smacks him over the head with a frying pan and ties him up.
Yeah, I know. But that's not within the scene. It's not within the date.
That's true.
I keep thinking about, and I won't count it, but I keep thinking about in the Broadway version, Aladdin has this intro to the song. And he says, like, you must feel trapped inside these walls. We'll run away, just you and me. It's very, like, sotto voce when he does it. And he's kind of just, like, drawing her in. And I feel like that's happening in a smaller way in the scene, too, of just, like, getting her to listen and to take his hand. But those are two, I'm not even vouching for it more. They're just two very different things.
I know, because there is a beginning, middle, end to the date between Aladdin and Jasmine.
Uh-huh.
It comes to a close and you have your kiss.
Yeah.
And Rapunzel and Flynn, it didn't intend to start out to be a date and then becomes a date as it goes on.
Yeah.
And then they find themselves in it and it doesn't end with a kiss. If Aladdin's didn't end with a kiss,
yeah,
would have been
kind
of like a failure of a date. But the fact that Rapunzel and Flynn doesn't end in the kiss, I can't hold it against them because they weren't going in expecting it to be a date.
Right.
It sort of became that as it went. So if a kiss doesn't happen, it's kind of forgiven. But if you came up to her trying to get her to go on the carpet and go on a date with you, if that didn't end with a kiss, like, you probably didn't do so great.
Yeah. I mean, and both of the activities in a way are like something for the princess, like something that would mean something to her.
Yeah.
Jasmine feels trapped. He's like, I'm going to show you the world. Rapunzel wants to see the lights. He's like, I'm going to bring you and I'm going to get you a front row seat. There's more activities during Rapunzel and Flynn's date. It's an entire day.
Yes. And there's moments of alone and then there's moments together and there's moments of hiding. And
but is it a do they get points off for it not being a date? Really, it becomes one.
I don't think
Aladdin
they get
Jasmine,
I don't think
date.
They get points off for that because it still is a date regardless whether it became one or it was started to
also
be.
And the two songs are so evenly matched for me too.
They really
like,
are
two
I mean
of my
A Whole New
Disney
World
songs
won
ever.
An Oscar but and I See the Light did not. It was robbed. We all know this.
All right. The quality of the connection. Again, it's what we were talking about.
Yeah.
Earning trust and creating the connection versus there was one building and now it keeps getting stronger. How do you compare those things?
I mean, Aladdin is still not forthcoming with Jasmine.
True.
Flynn is about to make it right so that he has a clean slate with Rapunzel.
Right. That's true.
Flynn comes away from that saying, I'm going to do what I can to make this right and be honest with Rapunzel as soon as possible. Whereas Aladdin is still committed to his ruse.
That's true. That's true. He has the carpet because of the genie. He's able to even access Jasmine because of that.
But the activity, if you told me, hey, for an activity, we can either redo Rapunzel's Day in the Kingdom or we can do Magic Carpet Ride.
I'm going to pick the Day in the Kingdom, but that's because looking at it in that way doesn't account for the chase that is happening within that carpet ride.
But the lanterns. Of all of the things that have happened in Disney, like, one of the things I am most aching to see are the lanterns.
And if you take the songs apart, I think A Whole New World is incredibly romantic. Like, somebody showing you something you've always wanted to see and couldn't. I mean, I love that. But the lyrics of I See the Light are more romantic.
Mm-hmm. Because they're about one another, about what you see in each other. Whereas A Whole New World is like, we're experiencing, it's a duet. But it's
when
like
did you
about,
last let your heart
outward.
Decide? I do love that line is killer. Tell me, princess, when did you last let your heart decide?
And the world has somehow shifted. Like, because of you, my world has shifted.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
I mean, Aladdin came to get Jasmine. Flynn came into this day to keep up his end of the bargain.
But can we hold that against him?
No, I don't hold it against him. But there's something about, like, I came to take you out.
That's true. Okay.
I came here for you.
If we now have to go back down to the foundations of what a date is, of I am here to take you out, to romance you, and bring you back home.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Aladdin, nothing fits more than A Whole New World in that case.
In that case, Aladdin and Jasmine would be our winner.
Wow.
The date that I would probably want to go on, I want to go on both.
I agree.
With both men at the same time.
Absolutely. They're two of my faves.
Okay. Okay. Wow. I think going on that criteria, having the beginning, middle, and end, the full circle OCD part of Connor is content with Aladdin and Jasmine.
Yeah. Yeah. There. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
So now we have it. Our winner for the best Disney date is Aladdin and Jasmine.
Wow.
The magic carpet ride.
Wow.
That was really intense.
It was.
I don't know. My Rapunzel Flynn part of me is flipping my stomach.
I know, but if we had gone with that, I would have been like, it's just because we're suckers and we like the way the lanterns look and we love the song and we love them.
But that's not about the lanterns. Like, I would want my date to be the lanterns.
Me too. But that's, no, I'm glad. We looked at it. That would have been going with just like our emotions. And this was the more practical, what is a date? Break it down. And I feel comfortable with this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, there you have it, folks. Our first showdown where we did 32 showdowns at the same time. So thank you very much for sticking with us. If you liked what you heard, please remember to hit follow or subscribe wherever you're listening to the podcast. That way, all of our episodes download to your device. You don't miss out on anything. And please remember to hit 5 stars and leave a written review wherever you're listening. It does so much. It helps other people see the podcast. We're seen in search results because of it. And your comments could be the difference between someone passing us by and hitting play. So please, oh, please, oh, please, if you haven't, give us a couple words of encouragement. Yeah. Tell us what you like about the podcast. It means the world to us. Thank you.
It does. Please also follow us on social media. So we are at Poor Unfortunate Podcast on Instagram and Facebook, and we are at Unfortunate Pod on Twitter. You better bet that I'm going to be polling all of you about this showdown. I need to know what everybody thinks because I know we're going to be divided, which I love. So pop over, especially to the Instagram stories. I will put polls up there and we will get all of you to vote on your final choice for best Disney date as well. And on that note, also, tomorrow is Valentine's Day. If you listen to this the day the episode drops, happy Valentine's Day, whether you are
in a relationship.
Yeah, if you're in a relationship, if you're celebrating with friends, if you're celebrating with family, your pet, yourself, just I hope
self-love is important. Self-love. Hell yeah.
And just know that we love and appreciate you, and we're sending a lot of that your way today, but always as well.
The Poor Unfortunate Shop is also open in case you are looking for any merchandise. You can go online to our store, see all of the different things, hats, t-shirts, water bottles, drawstring bags, the whole nine yards. It's poorunfortunatepodcast.com/shop. And as I always say, it does take us a little bit of money to keep the podcast up and running and coming to you. We do have a PayPal account. It is linked in our episode description and in all the links on our social media accounts. Truly anything that you have to spare goes a long way for us. It could be $1, $5, $10, more than that. It could be monthly. It could be a one-time donation. It all just goes right back into the podcast, helping us keep it free and ad-free for the most part. And to all of our monthly donors, thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
We'll keep saying thank you.
You are really, really helping us to just keep this going. So thank you so much. Alrighty. Well, until next time,
Beluga Savruga.